what has been a personal experience for suffering with you, if you'd be willing to share that with us?
I actually just went through something in my life, probably the deepest suffering I've experienced since probably some things that happened in my childhood.
Hi, everybody. I'm Suzanne, and welcome to the Find and Follow podcast, where our goal is to help you engage your faith outside of Sunday. And joining me this morning is Tammy Metters, one of our favorites. Tammy, thanks for being here.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back. We are in the middle of the season of Lent, and we are talking about different topics and themes of Lent. And so today we're going to unpack one of those themes, and that is suffering. Mm-hmm. So this feels a little heavy.
Yeah.
But I just want to kind of walk us through a little bit and have you walk us through and unpack why do we talk about suffering during Lent?
That's good. I'll start with just kind of what is suffering.
Yes.
And when I think about suffering, I think of pain that kind of is extended. Pain over a longer period of time to me becomes something that I would classify as suffering. And, you know, we look into our world. We see it everywhere. You know, we might see it in chronic pain that people are experiencing. I think of estrangement between family members.
Yes.
That's a lot of suffering right there.
Absolutely.
Depression, anxiety, you know. Suffering can take the form of physical suffering. It can take the form of emotional suffering.
Yes.
Like fear and, you know, just suffering in your physical emotions. Mental. Think of it there. Like ruminating over wounds and pains. And that becomes kind of a suffering in our life. And we see it in all of these different areas, and it's really a common human experience. It's something that every one of us will experience. I think Chris talks about suffering, and he says something like, you're either in it, you just came out of it, or you're about to go into some kind of trial or suffering. So it is common. And the reason that we talk about it during Lent is that Lent is a period of it's between Ash Wednesday and the Saturday before Easter. And we're really thinking about and remembering, you know, the Savior, you know, his death, his resurrection. So we're preparing to celebrate the resurrection. And so much of the life of Jesus was spent in suffering. So we think about it because of that, but we also think about it because of the suffering that we experience, sometimes through our own sinful choices, which we turn to repentance for that. So that's kind of some of the reasons why suffering is a theme of Lent.
I think one of the things when you're talking about that, what it makes me think is like normalizing the fact that we all have trials, we all have struggles, we all suffer in some form or fashion. We may not see each other suffering. It may not be a visible suffering. But it is a very real reality in all of our lives. When you think about that, when you hear suffering, you've kind of unpacked it and what it is, but what has been a personal experience for suffering with you, if you'd be willing to share that with us?
I actually just went through something in my life, probably the deepest suffering I've experienced since probably some things that happened in my childhood. But yeah, in the end of, at the end of July, found a tumor in my abdomen, went to the doctor, and then we started this journey. Now this is the end of July. So really this suffering has kind of been going on from July until even now. I'm still recovering from surgery. But during that, I had one surgery that, complications arose during surgery because they didn't really know what the tumor was. And then so I had to have a second surgery. And honestly, probably the peak of my suffering was the night before the second surgery. Because that was the surgery where we kind of knew what we were dealing with. We knew the possible complications. Three surgeons had to be there to manage the situation. And so the night before, my family and I went to dinner, and I was trying so hard to just be present with you know, my kids and my husband. And the whole time I was in anguish I was just in anguish, and I just was trying not to cry the entire meal. I was trying for it to be a just like a time of joy and just enjoying each other's presence, and I just kept looking from person to person at the table, like looking around the table, feeling just anguish because I didn't know what the next day would hold for me. You know, I didn't know what my future would be. I didn't know what the future of my children would be. And that kind of breaks a mother's heart when you're not sure what's going to happen. And so I made it through. You know, I think they could see that I was tearing up quite a bit during dinner. Went home and really just poured my heart out to the Lord. And, you know, the Lord reminded me of when he was in anguish at the Garden of Gethsemane. Knowing what he was about to face. So it's like a dread of the physical. Like I know the pain I'm about to go through. And I tell you, it was deep suffering. It was deep suffering for me. But Jesus met me so like closely, so lovingly. I really felt like I was precious to him, and just knowing that he has gone through the same human fear, the emotion of dread, the emotion of anguish. The scripture calls it anguish, and that just
means an interesting word.
Severe distress.
Severe distress.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, your body reacts when you know what's about to happen, and, you know, you start, like, that passage says that he began to sweat as if drops of blood were pouring from his body. I mean, it's like distress.
That is great distress, severe distress.
But, yeah, that's kind of something that I recently went through. God met me in it. Oh, my goodness. Like, I felt he was so with me, you know, so with me in that. And, of course, after the surgery, there was some nerve damage. And so I started getting better but still have this nerve damage. And I just remember thinking, is this my reality? You know, like, am I going to have this nerve pain for the rest of my life? So really felt that. There were a couple moments I felt some hopelessness. Like, man, this is going to be a real bummer. Like, if this is my reality, it's going to be a bummer.
Right.
But I learned so much through it, and God was so faithful through it. And I've turned a corner now. And I'm going to tell you, I missed that intimacy I had with the Lord when I was so dependent on him, waiting for test results, waiting for all of these things. Those were 5 intense months. And really, I can look back and say it was suffering, but a beautiful experience with the Lord.
Thank you for sharing first. I have to start there. Having watched you walk through that suffering, I did see you encounter Jesus in the midst of it and keep and hold on to hope. Which I think that's part of what we learn in suffering. But I but it's a big deal. That's that anguish, that it is a severe distress. And to know that Jesus went through that, that's we're saying that, but that's the reality that scripture tells us. And I do, as a mom, like not knowing that there's a whole lot of anguish that comes in being a mom, but when you're in the face of knowing surgery's coming and knowing there's a lot of unknown in it, that's a big deal.
A lot of, complications that could arise. And, you know, I knew... I mean, sometimes when you're suffering is when you're suffering for someone else. You know, like I knew that I had total peace that, like, my eternity was secure. And that I would either wake up in the arms of Jesus in total joy. Or I would wake up still on earth and happy that I would still be with my family and my church and get to do the work I do. So it was, some of it was the suffering that I was anticipating that someone else would feel, my children would feel.
Your children would feel. I think that's a mom thing.
But, you know, Jesus was fully God. He was fully man. And he experienced the emotions that we experience. And that to have a Savior that can be with us in every emotion that we experience, every suffering that we experience, is just such a comfort.
That's the word that came to my mind as you were saying that. Like, there's just a comfort And again, a hope when I know that Jesus experienced the suffering.
Yeah.
So there's not anything that we're going through that he hasn't felt that before.
That's right.
And I think we have to remind each other of that sometimes, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I need reminders of that. So you mentioned the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. Where else in Scripture, like, do you see suffering?
Yeah.
I feel like it's pretty
thematic.
It's kind of
like all through it. I guess I could answer that with the word everywhere.
Everywhere.
yeah, I mean, you look at just starting when sin entered the world in Genesis 3 and all the way through. I mean, right after that, we see murder. You know, we just see, you know, war. We see the consequences of idolatry in the lives of the Israelites. Mm-hmm. We see them going to exile. Of course, we see the suffering of Jesus when he walked the earth, and not just the suffering on the cross, but the suffering he experienced as he grew into maturity. Like, he lost his earthly father.
Yes.
He grieved and went through all of the things that humans do. Of course, his death. And then you see after his resurrection, the church, you see the persecution of the church. Mm-hmm. But the hope and the beautiful thing is that we see the end as well, the end of suffering in Scripture in Revelation 21, 1-5. When there will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain. And that is either going to happen for us when Jesus returns or when
we
meet him. So we really just see the theme all throughout, but we also see the hope because we see that for those who trust in Jesus, suffering will come to an end.
I think that when we... suffering feels like a very hard thing to talk about sometimes, to go, hey, this is the reality that we live with. Like, I don't necessarily like that reality, but it's a very real one. And
it's to be expected.
On this side of eternity, we do have it. But we do, the hope that we have is that Jesus knows it, and we have a hope because the Bible tells us it will end.
That's right. It will end. We know the plan.
We know
that
the plan
is a blessing to us that God revealed that to us. We know the mystery of Christ.
That is, which is incredible.
And we see it so much in the life of Jesus and the teachings and the way that he modeled. I mean, gosh, we've already talked about some of the suffering he experienced, but abandonment. We know, you know, he was abandoned at his lowest point by the people closest to him. He was abandoned. He was betrayed. You know, he was misunderstood. You know, that feeling, that's a terrible feeling.
It's an awful feeling.
You know, when I'm misunderstood, it's like, I want to like correct you. I want you to see me the way that I want you to see me. Like, that's a terrible feeling. The mistreatment, I think of the opposition from the religious leaders of that time, you know, going through all of that opposition. And then, of course, we know that, you know, the night before he was arrested, that anguish in the garden. But also, as he was beaten, as he was hung on the cross, as he bore the guilt of our sins, like you think of the feeling of guilt. That's a suffering when we feel guilt.
There's great anguish and guilt.
And he felt the guilt of all of our sins. So that was a deep suffering. And the weight of God's wrath. He satisfied God's wrath. He bore the weight of God's wrath in order that we don't have to bear that weight.
Which
we couldn't.
We couldn't do it.
We couldn't do it. So I look at, gosh, all of the suffering of Jesus. But I see, like, he taught a lot about suffering, too. Or were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say the last week of his life, like, I mean, we even mark it with a service, the service of darkness.
Yes.
But that level of suffering to carry the weight, to carry all of our sin and to the cross, like, for the sake of his, like, he died for, in the midst of, like, that was part of his death, was his, he was suffering for us.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's something we think about in that last week of Lent, that week, this week that we're in of leading up to the celebration of Easter, but to kind of pause and go, there was like the level at which that suffering was.
It was deep.
Very deep. Very intense. Mm-hmm. So I think the thing that comes to my mind is how much hope we can have because of the intensity of that week of his life.
Yeah, it was for us. Mm-hmm. It was for us. And he, the hope. I mean, we have to just keep taking our minds and hearts back to the hope. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus taught us that we're going to suffer mm-hmm. in this life, mm-hmm. but he's overcome the world. We're going to suffer. He's overcome the world. Right. He has promised us to be, that he will give us his presence. Mm-hmm. He'll be with us, mm-hmm. Through the suffering. He will give us the comfort. He also, we read in the New Testament that our suffering will create endurance in us. It'll create these qualities in us that make us more like Jesus. So there's purpose in our suffering because we will be sanctified. We'll become more like him. Mm-hmm. Like what I just went through, I can now, because of what I've gone through, can minister to people in a different way mm-hmm. than I've ever been able to before, because God uses suffering in our lives to help us minister to other people. So many things that just remind us of the purpose in our suffering, that there's meaning, there can mm-hmm. be meaning in our suffering, mm-hmm. and that God is with us. And then again, like just around the corner, I think of hope sometimes like just around the corner, like you don't mm-hmm. know what's just around the corner, mm-hmm. you know? And I think of like the disciples, think of the darkness and the grief and the confusion that they felt when Jesus was arrested.
Right.
When he was hung up on that cross.
So much confusion.
And they're like, what is going on? They loved Jesus. It, you know, I just talked about the abandonment, mm-hmm. but they loved Jesus. They were just so confused. They didn't know what was going on. And they didn't know just around the corner mm-hmm. is the resurrection.
And I think that, like, I can't imagine being a disciple and watching this man that you've walked with, that mm-hmm. you've followed, that has given you courage and hope and talked
and
about
joy.
And joy and the forgiveness yeah. and the community that mm-hmm. they had. And then he's, like, ripped away from them. And how do you process? And then you can't talk about all this and not talk about Peter.
Yeah.
And being one of his close friends, like the closest of close, and mm-hmm. then betraying him yeah. and living like even in that suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jesus had, you know, he had revealed some of this to mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. but they just hadn't quite grasped it yet. It wasn't quite clear to them. So then, yeah, he died. He's put in the tomb. But then just around the corner, we've got the resurrection, you know, and that resurrection, it represents victory. It is victory. It doesn't represent victory. It is victory. It is victory.
Right.
But it also can, for us, remind us of hope.
Yes.
Of even just the suffering we're currently going through, that there's life, there's newness coming around the corner. I think a lot about that resurrection and how, you know, when the moment that they heard Jesus is alive, He has been mm-hmm. raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that because Jesus conquered death, we have victory over death.
Yes.
We also have victory over sin.
Yes.
That same resurrection power mm-hmm. that raised Jesus from the dead mm-hmm. is available to us through the Spirit, for us to have victory over sin, to live in this reconciled relationship with God. I just think of like when they realized he's alive. And then, the one verse I wanted to kind of read, one passage I wanted to read just to remind us of what this resurrection means for us as well, is 1 Peter 2, mm-hmm. 21 to 25. It says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Mm. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. Mm-hmm. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. I love that passage so much.
The passage that came to mind when you were talking earlier was the Romans 5, that suffering induces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope that does not disappoint.
That's right.
And, you know, I think about, you said this, like, when you walk through suffering, there's a sense of you're going to have the opportunity. You may get the opportunity down the road to walk along with someone else who is suffering. And you may, I remember telling a friend in a hard season, she was like, I don't have hope today. And I was like, I'm going to hope for you today. Like my prayer for you today is that, like, how do you, you know, I'm going to have hope that this is getting better. This will be, this is temporal. This will come to an, this hard will come to an end. And I'm going to hold on to hope for you today.
Well, and you know what's beautiful about that is that she didn't isolate herself. She invited you into to that. And we see that with Jesus too, right? Like when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He invited Peter, James, and John. Into that moment with him to pray for him. Of course, we know.
They fell asleep.
They couldn't do it. But it is a model for us that we are not to suffer in isolation. We're to, we are to invite others into our suffering.
And I love that picture. So you just walked through this season of suffering, and this was hard, but you, and how did you invite people in with you in this?
Well, you know what? I remember, saying to people, like, I'm scared. Like, I'm just going to say it. I'm like really scared. I just wanted to be authentic about it. Like, I didn't want to pretend like I've got, like, I'm just trusting God 100% and just, like, I'm really scared, and I need prayer. And I even remember telling a couple of people, like, I thought I would be braver than this to go through something like this, you know? And you think sometimes in your mind, oh, yeah, whenever God brings something to my mind, I'm just going to be strong and I'm going to. But, yeah, I would just say to people, I don't feel very strong today. Would you pray for me? I had so many people praying for me. Of course, the New City prayer team was praying for me, sending me cards. And just at the right moment, just at the right moment, someone would send me a text. It would say just what I needed to hear. So I think, to summarize, I was honest with people. And I let them know my need for their prayers, for their words of encouragement. And God used the church in my life so much.
I think that's a really good example of, we're not meant to put on, sometimes I feel like we in our culture say, just put on a brave face, keep yourself together, everything's going to be okay no matter how hard it is. And I loved walking near you in this past season and being like, how can I pray for you? And you saying, like, I remember you saying, I'm scared. And I loved your just honesty in that, the acknowledging of, I don't have control of this. Because I think sometimes we think we're supposed, our sinful self says, I got it all together and I can control. But we know the reality of the truth is that we can't control it. And we are at the mercy of what is to happen.
Yeah, and we live in reliance on God. That's how we're designed to live, in complete reliance on Him. And suffering does push us into that reliance on God. And I'll tell you something else I said to myself too, is that I'm not in a battle against God. This is like, He's not, I never felt myself moving toward blame. Like, you know how we quickly want to blame things or attribute, you know, blame to things. And I was like, this is, the enemy is sin. The enemy is our fallen world. God is actually like my hero.
I love that.
He's the one that will comfort me, that will bring me through this. He didn't want us to suffer the way that we're suffering.
He didn't.
You know, humanity chose that when we sinned. We, in a way invited sin into our world, and now we're living with the consequences of that corruption. So that was another thing. Like, my battle is against sin. My battle is against evil forces. You know, the sin that even corrupts our physical bodies and causes us to grow random tumors, you know, that just cause problems in our lives. So that's the enemy. God is the is the one who gives me the comfort and the hope. And he's the mm-hmm. one that created a plan of salvation so that, guess what? One day we won't suffer again.
Which is a beautiful mm-hmm. picture.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I have a question for somebody who's in the middle of a season of suffering and is mm-hmm. just struggling.
Yeah.
How would you encourage them today?
Yeah. Well, I would say there are some practices, there are some things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little list here that kind of helped me. I'll say, like, the first one is just to live biblical truth, align yourself to a biblical mm-hmm. worldview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we say we believe certain things, but then when it gets down to it, we actually live as if we don't believe those things. So
there's nothing like a crisis to challenge
right.
what we're believing.
So some of what we just talked about, like mm-hmm. we know we're going to suffer. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that should take us by surprise. So just aligning to biblical truth, practicing trust,
mm.
you know, continuing to remind yourself that God loves me. He's for me. He's with me.
Mm.
I can trust him no matter if I'm here tomorrow or not here tomorrow. I can trust him. I can trust him with my children. I can trust him with my husband. I can trust him with everything,
mm-hmm.
You know. And then practicing prayer. You know, we saw that model with Jesus.
Yes.
You know,
he
regularly spent time with the Father. So that's a big one. And this is one we probably don't think a lot about, but practice building joy
okay.
in your life.
Unpack that
okay.
for me.
Well, we're created for joy, right? We're mm-hmm. created. We know that there is joy in the Lord. And so when you're going through something hard, sometimes you want to think about the hard thing. And really something that would be really more helpful is to think about, how do I build joy into my life? How do I experience more joy in my life? And so building more joy gives you the strength to actually face the suffering.
Mm.
So this is an acronym I learned through a ministry called Deeper Walk. It's GAMES, G-A-M-E-S. This okay. help. I practice this regularly. G is gratitude. And when you practice gratitude, practice it for 5 minutes and just feel the gratitude in your body.
Mm.
It even just changes your brain chemistry even.
Well, I did recently hear that when you practice gratitude, your brain cannot actually mm-hmm. worry at the same time.
Right.
It takes it away.
That's right. Yeah, gratitude's major. Practice it 5 minutes. Like, just take moments. They even say, like, to practice it 3 times a day, have these moments of mm-hmm. gratitude where you practice it for 5 minutes and you just enjoy the feeling of just thanking the Lord for something in your life. A is anticipation. Anticipation of what's coming. And that makes me think of Jesus. It makes me think of in Hebrews when it says, for the joy set before him, he endured
yes.
the cross.
Yes.
He was anticipating the joy ahead because of the work on the cross. So gratitude, anticipation, memories, but like reliving memories of joy in your life, like reliving those memories, that builds joy.
Yes.
Experiences, especially with people. All of this needs to be like relational. Joy is relational. Experiences. And then the last one is singing.
Nice. Okay.
Singing builds joy in our life. So I would say build joy. And then lastly, I'd say practice hope. Remind yourself of the hope. You don't know what's right around the corner. And just thinking about the hope that God brings us through the work of Christ. And so those are just some things that I think helped me.
Right.
And that could help someone.
That's a beautiful picture. Like, I love that for you. You practice these things.
It's practice.
And even when you were having a hard day, it's mm-hmm. a continual effort and work to
yeah.
practice it.
Well, when I started feeling anxious, when I started feeling like when the thoughts of fear started coming to my mm-hmm. mind, go to gratitude, mm-hmm. I smile. I would smile.
I love that.
I just smile, like, thank you, Lord, that you're with me. And just, yeah, try to practice. And hope also is hopeful thinking.
True.
Like when you find your thoughts in a place of hopelessness,
mm.
to practice hopeful thinking. You know, don't stay in the hopelessness for very long.
Call like, a friend,
call,
reach
yeah,
out.
And God, and just remind mm-hmm. yourself, God's with me. God's
mm-hmm.
got me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be okay. God kept telling me, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. I'm going to get through this.
Right.
I know I'm going to get through this.
Right.
Yeah.
The beauty of that,
mm-hmm.
the hope of
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
the hope of Christ in the midst of the suffering.
Yeah.
Tammy, thanks for joining me today and talking about a subject that I feel like we've ended with joy. So thank you for that. And we're not going to sing for you guys. I'm really sorry. But would you pray for us before we go?
Absolutely. Father, this is a deep topic. And there are people listening to this podcast right now who are suffering some really hard things. There are some people listening to this podcast that have suffering ahead for them. And Lord, I just pray that in the midst of whatever you bring into our lives, we never forget that you are so with us. You know how we feel. And your design was not for us to suffer. And because you love us, you provided a plan. You provided a way for us to one day no longer experience that suffering. So, Lord, that gives us hope, Lord. And there's not just hope for that. There's hope of experiencing you currently in the midst of our suffering, Father. So just ask for you to meet us wherever we are, whatever feelings we have, whatever thoughts are in our minds. Help us to practice gratitude. Help us to lean into community. Help us to stay close to you. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Tammy, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for listening and watching. Find us where you find your podcast. Until next time.